Hey everybody, Bill Behrens here with another weekly report at Who's Slamming Who. As always, we'll do a little review of ratings. I'm going to do some different analysis today after I get through the usual being what did Impact do in its cable rating on Spike for, in this case, Thursday the 10th of the month. TNA, unfortunately, dropped back down to sort of where they had been before, but still better than what they had been doing a lot of last year. This time it was a 1.2 rating, 1.7 million viewers. Really not that bad, but a little bit of a drop down from the last couple of weeks of greater success. Show opened strong at a 1.32 with an in-ring promo. And for whatever reason, even though there was Gaga involved and then some stuff with the girls at the tail end of the segment, this show had what has been an unfortunate tendency of the shows in the past that had been avoided over the last couple of weeks, and that is the bouncing all over the place of viewership. And certainly that was in full effect on this particular episode, because the first quarter hour, 1.32, dropped dramatically in the second quarter hour to a 1.15, up slightly in the third quarter hour to a 1.23, down again in the fourth quarter hour to a 1.18, up again, as is usual, in the fifth quarter hour, and that was a 1.24. Then big drop in the second hour for two straight quarter hours, both quarter hour six and quarter hour seven dropped to the lowest ratings of the entire show, a 1.13. But in somewhat good news, the audience came back for the final quarter hour, which was the Angle and Styles versus Jeff Hardy, Jeff Jarrett match, and that was at a 1.22. So a little bit of a good bounce back, but a lot of bouncing around. Show started at a 1.32, ended at a 1.22. Obviously, as we've discussed before, the holy grail is when a show starts at a certain place and ends up at a better place by the end of the show. In this case, the best that TNA can say is they got some of their audience that they had lost in the second hour back and were able to at least end up with a relatively decent 1.2 rating. A greater example of that kind of success would be, for example, what happened with the most recent episode of Raw. In the case of Raw, which if you track across its two hours of programming, while Raw did a cable rating somewhat disappointing, 3.1 was reported, the reality is that the show grew from first hour to second hour, with, of course, the big payoff being the in-ring promo by The Rock. Rather than even looking at the cable numbers, instead what I'm going to do now is go to a greater story, and that is the overall household numbers. First, a little explanation. We've done this before, but it's still confusing to many people. When a program is rated on, say, Spike Network or Sci-Fi Network, it's rated based on the overall audience that network has. So the rating is based on the households that network reaches, not, as is the case of a broadcast network like an NBC, CBS, ABC, that reaches its audience through cable, through satellite, but also over air directly. That's a larger audience base, a much larger audience base. So as an example, Sci-Fi Network reaches approximately 95 million homes. Spike reaches a larger group of homes at nearly 99.4 million, almost topping over, going over the top. And the broadcast audience is even larger. It's a much, much bigger audience. So whenever we go through the ratings have to be analyzed in the universe in which each show appears, the network it's on. But when we try to compare ratings from the different cable networks who are either cable or satellite delivered, then we also have to realize that they have to be, our analysis has to be adjusted by the difference in size between the two networks. Because, for example, a 2 rating on Sci-Fi is a smaller audience than a 2 rating on Spike. So, not a big deal, but something to bear in mind. The greater analysis is to potentially look at the actual total household rating in the whole universe in which cable and satellite have a part. So when we do that, the numbers actually all change a little bit. As I said, Raw on the 14th was a cable-rated 3.1. However, the actual rating, first hour in real ratings, the whole universe being considered, the real rating was a 2.6 rating for share. What that means is 2.6% of the audience that was watching television at the time was watching that show, and it represented 4%, the share, of the overall viewing audience. So again, at 9 o'clock, a 2.6 rating for share, reaching approximately 4.7 million viewers. But then at 10 o'clock, Raw grew to a 2.8 rating, 5 share, and 4.8 million viewers. That's an example of exactly what you want a show to do. So while there may have been minor disappointment in the overall rating for the two-hour block being down slightly over the preceding week, if I were analyzing the ratings from their perspective and I saw that my first hour grew to my second hour being larger audience than my first hour, that's a very impressive story. It's also even more impressive because, in general, in evenings, audiences drop off. The homes using television drop off the later it gets. And at 10 o'clock, there's a minor drop-off from 9 o'clock. But in this particular case, Raw on the 14th, by delivering first a 2.6 rating, 4 share, growing to a 2.8 rating, 5 share, even as the hut level was dropping, they were able to increase overall audience, the rating, and their percentage of overall viewership, the share, which is a really good story. In fact, for that particular week, they were the number 10 cable show. They were in the top 25, ranked at number 10, the only wrestling show that was ranked. Using the same analysis, not the cable rating, but the pure household rating and share of the total universe, some of which the shows can't reach, like the networks do, the over-air delivery that these networks just don't have. If we go through a quick comparison, somebody had said, can you compare SmackDown to Impact? Well, a way to do that would be to look at 2 weeks of Impact and 2 weeks of SmackDown within the whole universe of television rather than just the ratings each of them get on their network. For example, on 2-3, on Feb 3, Impact actually delivered a 1.1 rating to share. That was the actual rating and share delivery within the total television universe, and it represented 1.953 million viewers. On 2-10, they dropped down to a 1 rating to share. 1% of the audience was watching them, and it represented 2% of the overall viewership at the time that they were being watched, and that was a 1.653 million viewing. The same weeks, on the 4th, SmackDown did a 1.73 share and delivered 3.218 million viewers. And then on the 11th, they delivered a 1.5 rating, 3 share, delivering 2.55 million viewers. So SmackDown, regardless of networks, is delivering a stronger rating and share of audience on a week-to-week basis than Impact, and has been for quite a while. And even with the network change to a slightly weaker network with Sci-Fi, that remains the case. So I had not known the share information before I finally found this research, found it interesting, thought I would share it here today as part of our overall rating analysis. Hopefully, TNA bounces back with the most recent tapings done this last Monday and Tuesday, starting this Thursday in broadcast. Of course, they've got next Thursday a special taping in Fayetteville, one of the first times they've headed outside to do a television taping. So it'll be interesting whether that helps or hurts the overall sizzle on the stake of their rating. But it'll be interesting to track the next 3 weeks on the recent tapings and the follow-ups on the recent turn of fortune to more of a babyface side, the return of Hernandez, Jeff Hardy recapturing the title, various other changes that have been made. It'll be interesting to track and see how that impacts on the stability and potential growth of ratings at TNA. Also, by the way, I understand that at least potentially in Fayetteville, the national anthem may be sung by country star Sarah Darling. She recently did a music video that starred TNA star AJ Styles that's available for viewing on the internet. Just find Sarah Darling, S-A-R-A-H, Darling, D-A-R-L-I-N-G, and you can take a look at that video with AJ Styles. Hopefully they'll be doing some personal appearances coming up together, but it appears that they've set up for her to be in Fayetteville and be part of that television taping, which will be a good thing for Sarah Darling and a good thing for TNA. Moving on, got a Rampage Pro Wrestling TV taping this Saturday. Looking forward to that, and Warner Robins at Johnny G's. It's going to be a fun night. We're doing an entire hour of television, which will be a Mega Rumble. It appears right now, based on the layout I've been putting together, that it'll be a 30-person Mega Rumble. The end result will be to determine the number one contender for the Rampage heavyweight title currently held by J-Rod. So fans, if you've not had an opportunity to see a Mega Rumble, reason enough to go to the taping, but this is going to be a spectacular one that will take up an entire hour of television beginning to end without interruption. No breaks at all in this particular match. It just keeps going until it's over. So should be an exciting night, and that in a second hour of television with great matches in that is reason enough, I hope, for everyone to get to Johnny G's and Warner Robins on Saturday. We start early at 7 o'clock and are usually out of there by 9:30 or so. So it's a great night for the family. Last time we were there, Johnny G's was rocking with a really good base of people for that day. A lot of people there having a good time and a good crowd for the wrestling, and we hope to have the same this weekend. Also, I'm pleased to announce that Rampage has decided to join the National Wrestling Alliance as an associate and will be featuring the NWA brand from now on, as well as continuing to feature NWA championship matches as it has been already. Several appearances so far by the NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Dark City Fight Club, Corey Chavis and John Davis, and we anticipate them returning. Also looking into bringing in the current NWA Junior Champion, Craig Classic, and hopefully the NWA World Champion currently, Adam Pearce. So a lot of excitement going on in Warner Robins, and with the involvement of the National Wrestling Alliance brand, a lot of history returns to that area along a NWA foundation, as is the entire state of Georgia. Also, last week we had a good television taping for NWA Anarchy, and we are looking forward to our next taping for that on the 26th of the month back in Cornelia, Georgia. Good news, it does look like there will be a new owner coming into play for Anarchy. That announcement will be made down the line and by Jerry Palmer, not by me. But good news for the fans of Anarchy that have been with it for the 5 years that it's had its run, and the wrestlers that have enjoyed being there and want to continue to keep coming back. So look for more information on that. On the 26th, one of the feature matches will be sort of a hybrid match. I mentioned Mega Rumble with 30 people, which is somewhat unique at Rampage. This one will be a little different. This is a Mega Rumble ladder match. Sort of interesting in that most Mega Rumbles, the later you get into the match, the better, because there isn't a winner until everybody's in the match. So the last guy in has the greatest advantage in that people before him have had to work hard to stay in the match. Whereas in the case of this particular match, the ladder is in play from the beginning and can be utilized at any time to capture the prize, which will be the Young Lions title. That title was given back, was relinquished by Slim J, a three-time Young Lions champion, who noted in his short presentation to the crowd and to Jerry Palmer, who okayed this particular match to crown a new champion, that after over a decade in the building, he didn't quite feel like a Young Lion much anymore. And also, given the banged-up body that he now has from being that guy at one time, it's time to step aside and let some of the younger guys take the risks that are associated with the Young Lions title. And so it will be a Mega Rumble ladder match with the ladder in play from the beginning, which means of the right now 10 to 11 people that are involved, one or two may make it and the match may be over, or all 11 may get into the match before it's over. There's no way of knowing until we're there that night and have an opportunity to see this particular match. That and a whole lot more stuff at the last taping saw the return of the Being of Inconceivable Horrors, Iceberg, the latest of the Anarchy Stars to return on this ride toward Hardcore Hell on April 9th, which will be the end of the run for promoter Jerry Palmer. So hopefully fans in North Georgia will make their plans to be at NWA Anarchy on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month as we go forward. And, of course, down in Warner Robins, Georgia at now NWA Rampage Pro Wrestling to be able to go see those shows on the first, third, and fifth Saturdays of every month. Also, an announcement out of Rampage, a number of Rampage stars are going to be featured in the early matches when Dragon Gate USA is performing during WrestleMania weekend, the early part of April, in Atlanta, Georgia. Kyle Matthews, Jimmy Rave, Crew Jones, Sean Banks, the usual suspects, Murder One and AJ Steele, and others, Barry Buchanan and a few other Rampage stars, are all going to be involved in the Dragon Gate USA show. And then the day before up in North Carolina, I understand that Jimmy Rave versus Kyle Matthews has been added to that particular internet pay-per-view. Both of these events will be internet pay-per-views. We also anticipate being able to announce fairly soon some additional Atlanta area talent that will be added to the Ring of Honor shows during WrestleMania weekend. So, and Rampage plans to run a show over that weekend. It's a normal weekend, but in this case, they're going to run at 1 p.m. because so much of its talent is on the Dragon Gate show that evening, that particular Saturday. Also, I understand that Rampage cameras are going to be allowed at the Dragon Gate show, and all or part of the matches involving the Rampage stars will end up showing up on Rampage television. Rampage television can be seen on a weekly basis in Middle Georgia on the Fox 24 in Macon at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, also on the MyTV network, and on Cox Communications Cable, both its hour show and the half-hour recap show, Rewind, all available in Middle Georgia, plus on the internet at RampagePProWrestling.net on a weekly basis. NWA Anarchy fans can always see on the internet at NWAAnarchy.net. And also now, both Anarchy and Wildside are offering video on demand, low-cost video on demand, $2 for television shows, $5 for events, both at NWAWildside.com and NWAAnarchy.net. Well, that's about it for this week. Look forward to speaking with everybody again next week. And that's it. Bye-bye now.